It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Larry. It's a welcome. Welcome, everyone, to Sinner's Sunday. This is not your father's church. You ever visited a church with beer, barca loungers, and babage? I didn't think so. We don't punish or preach here. We don't finger point or pontificate. We don't shame, blame, play games, or call you names. And maybe that's why this little gathering is getting bigger every week. So if you like what you're hearing, please tell all your friends about it. As far as I know, there's never been anything like this before. And if you really enjoy the time you spend here, then why not help us keep the lights on and support this ministry at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. I'm already getting significant feedback from you, and a few days ago an email came in that I've been dreading since I started this a few months ago. It is, without question, the single toughest question in the spiritual world, maybe all worlds. Here is that email. Hey Larry, love the show, thanks for doing it. I actually consider the Sunday episodes my way of remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Wow. Anyhow, I'm hoping you can give your perspective on this conundrum of Christianity. Why do bad things happen to good people? I've asked a priest in the past, and his response was that while God is perfect, the world he created is imperfect. I guess I can see his point, but I can't help but wonder if there is a better or more in-depth answer. Thank you, Mike. Well, thank you, Mike. That question has been plaguing men of the cloth since before there were ever Christians. And you have to wonder if some religions were partially created in an attempt to answer it. Let's start with the notion of reincarnation. That gives a fairly easy out, doesn't it? Anybody who is befallen by some untimely death? Hey, relax. He gets a do-over. Everybody gets a do-over until we smooth out our karma. Nice theory. But does it really assuage the grief of losing a loved one? It's a pretty long-term fix, too. In the next go-round, not only will you not know the departed in that incarnation, he might not even be the same species. So reincarnation is an answer, but is it the best? I don't know. Back in the wild, wild Old Testament, God was kind of a test-crazy jokester, wasn't he? Always screwing with people just to see how they'd react. Don't you hate people like that? I do. Can't stand obtuse or coded communication. Chicks are kind of into that, aren't they? Come on, fess up when you ask hubby or boyfriend, "Are you hungry?" That means I'm hungry, but for some reason, you don't want to come out and say that. "Does this dress make me look fat?" means tell me I'm thin, even if it's a lie of biblical proportions. That's chick speak. Bonus episode 7 went deep, deep into decoding chick speak. Check it out at Patreon. So guys pull that shit too, of course. I used to work with this asshole. When he'd interview somebody for a job, he'd always do it at a bar or restaurant where he would accidentally drop a fork or pen or matchbook or something. And if the interviewee picked it up for him, he would take that as a sign that person could be easily managed. Old Testament God was big into testing. Remember him telling Abraham to kill his son, and then just as Abe was about to plunge that drop-point K-bar into Isaac's aorta, God says, "Hey, whoa, just kidding." But the big, big test was, of course, Job. Maybe one of the nuttiest stories in the Bible. See, one day God and Satan were sitting around throwing back a few, which maybe that's where they got this all this Illuminati stuff started, huh? I mean, what the hell is God doing hanging with his only enemy? But nonetheless, there they are, and Satan tells God,
"You think all your people love you? Bullshit. They love you 'cause of what you give them. Try taking away some shit. Fuck with them a little and see how fast they curse your name. I bet you anything."
And God says he'll take that bet. And he looks down on his people and selects one very rich guy named Job. He had a big-ass ranch with 7,000 sheep and thousands more camels and oxen and donkeys and a load of servants. He was the richest dude in all the land of Uz. That's U-Z, not O-O-O-Z-E, wherever the hell that was. And Job was a happy guy. Besides all the money and livestock, he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God tells Satan that he's so confident in Job's loyalty, he's going to take away all that great stuff, and Job will still give him props and love. So he and Satan send a drone with an X-ray camera and microphone to Job's mansion just as he's enjoying dinner, which is being served to him in high style by butlers and sommeliers. Job's just about to tear into a leg of lamb when there's a knock at the door. And a messenger says,
"I'm sorry to report that bandits have attacked the lower 40 and killed the camels, oxen, and donkeys."
And Job says,
"Oh my God, everything!"
"No, they killed the ranch hands too."
Just then another guy appears and announces that lightning hit the barn and all Job's sheep are now mutton and gyro. And the shepherds burned up with them too. And Job says,
"Oh my God!"
And God tells Satan, "You see that? I'm still his God. Is he cursing me? No." And the devil scowls. Then another messenger appears.
"What the fuck do you want? This better not be bad news."
"Your sons and daughters were dining in their oldest brother's house when the tornado blew the house down. They're all dead."
That's when Job stands up, tears off his clothes, shaves his head, and falls to his knees, screaming,
"Jehovah gave, Jehovah's taken away. Blessed is the name of Jehovah."
And God smirks at Satan and says, "I want asshole."
"Bullshit, that Job guy's loaded. Insurance will probably cover everything, and he's probably got girlfriends. He can start another family tomorrow. That's no test. Let's see you really fuck with him. Make him sick."
And God folds his arms and says, "Okay, big mouth, watch this." And in a hot minute, Job's covered with leprosy. Even his lesions have lesions. It's so bad, he cracks a flower pot and scrapes off piles of his own rotting flesh with a shard of clay. Ah! And Satan is close to throwing up.
"Holy shit, which one of us is the bad guy here?"
But still, Job praises God until his wife shows up.
"What do you got, brain damage? You kissing God's ass? What's it gonna take for you to wake up?"
And Satan smiles and elbows God, but Job tells his wife to shut up. And still, Job will not shit-talk God. And finally, Satan gives up. And as a reward, God gives Job back double everything. Sheep, camels, oxen, donkeys, even children. And he lets them live to 140 years of age. Crazy story. Nice Hollywood ending, right? But does it ever work out like that? The whole book of Job is kind of an attempt to answer Mike's question, how can God allow evil, or in the case of Job, take some sick, sadistic pleasure in throwing suffering on a nice dude just to win a bet? There's an entire field of study addressing this exact question. It's called theodicy. Big, big names in theology and philosophy have grappled with this one. And you expect me to wrap it up here? Well, I'll give it a shot. But before I do, let me throw out a couple more theories that have long been floating around. One, there is no God, and then there would be no Satan, and shit just happens. That's probably the easiest one to believe, followed by God is dead, or napping, or fishing, or has just unplugged for a while. I don't think those are the answer either. The answer I have for you, Mike, is one of my own invention. And that's that we are all dreadfully limited by our perspective and perceptions. We don't fly. We crawl over the earth just a smidge higher than insects. If we want to see beyond this globe, we can only gaze outward through a lens or backward through some spacecraft. And our little telescopes and ships are barely even toys. Our perspective, even with 21st century science, haven't taken us much beyond our own toenails. And then there's our perceptions. Compared to many, many lower life forms, we're practically blind and deaf. Any canine can hear and smell things we never will. Birds see what we cannot. And these are just our limitations in the physical world. Who knows what other realms exist, which we also cannot sense, at least not in this life. So just as our limited perspective and perception renders us marginally more aware than slugs, our understanding of life and death and why evil exists is even more minuscule. Trying to figure these things out and make sense of them is like asking an infant to discuss quantum physics. It's just beyond our capabilities. There's a schmaltzy old Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Simple story of a depressed dude who wishes he'd never been born, and then he gets a look at what life would be like for many others had he never been born. It turns out he was more important than he'd imagined. But that doesn't make us grieve any less when someone we love suffers or leaves us, does it? My head-slap moment for your question, Mike, came courtesy of my daughter when she was about 3. She had gotten hold of a huge red balloon, and for a couple days that thing was her favorite thing, a constant companion. And then she lost her grip on it and watched it rise up to the clouds. It was an overcast day, and soon the balloon had vanished, and she was inconsolable. No matter what I promised her, it would not stanch the flow of tears down her baby cheeks. Are we very much different from a 3-year-old with a lost balloon? There's a brief passage from the New Testament that better answers the theodicy question than the entire nutty book of Job. And those words are, "No sparrow is forgotten by God, and the very hairs on your head are numbered." Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again at Sinner Sunday. If you have a question or comment, get at me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Swing by the homepage for lots more at thatlarryshow.com and click the subscribe by email button while you're there so you never miss an episode. Come back and hang with us for the regular show this Tuesday. It's gonna be fun. Some idiot just took a selfie with a bear and got his head torn off. So we'll be looking and laughing at him and other suicide selfies and lots more. Until that time, don't try too hard to figure everything out. We're all under-equipped. I'll see you Tuesday.